Blog Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Yaina Yisrael with another edition of the Yehuda Project. We are so happy to have you today. And as usual, we're going to play a song so that we can wait for our host to come on the line. And we hope you like the song. Here we go.
Thank you.
All right. Shalom, everyone. This is another edition of the Yehuda Project. This is Yaina Yisrael saying shalom to everyone. I'm going to take a moment and get my co-host on the line. We have a very exciting show today. We have some very important information that we'd like to share with you today, some information that fulfills prophecy, some information about things that are in the news, some information about us as a nation, information about end times. So this is going to be a very exciting show. I hope everyone is prepared with pen and paper to write down so you can do your own research. But in the meantime and in the between time, I am going to get my co-host on the line. Brother Adonai, are you there?
Shalom. Happy Mother's Day to all that is on the line.
All right. There's nothing wrong with saying hello to the mothers. It's a beautiful thing. Beautiful. So how have you been today? What's been going on?
Nothing really. I haven't been feeling too well, so I've been kind of incapacitated with my own stuff. But for the most part, I'm pretty good, and I'm all right. Yeah.
All right. Well, you know what? One thing we have to do is give up that sugar. Once we can give up that sugar, all of our problems will be And I want you to call and or get in touch with Ayashina Yisrael, and she will help you with that. She is the director of our health and wellness, and she is a part of the Nation of Yehuda. I have a couple of announcements to make before I introduce my guest. I have invited a guest on the line today, and if you are on the line and you did get an invitation from me today by email, please push 1 because we would love to have you on the line. We have a lot of things we need to discuss. I wanted to announce that we will be adding some more shows to the Nation of Yehuda, to the Yehuda Project. We are planning on having a show every day of the week. At some point, we are going to add a show from Israel, which we call our Homeland News. She will be reporting directly from Israel the things that are going on, which is very vital to our survival as a nation. And then we're planning on having Ayashina Yisrael, who is the director of our public health and wellness department. She is going to run a show one night a week on her own where you guys can actually call in and get information about health issues, about eating right, and all the things that we need to do in order for us to be a healthy nation, because that's our goal, is to get in good health. So on top of that, we also have a director of youth and information, and she actually is going to have a show for our teenagers, for our children, to come on board and to be able to provide something to Blog Talk Radio. So we're expanding, we're growing, and I would like to put something out there. All of our positions are volunteered, and they're virtual. They're all our people are all across the country, and we are definitely in need of a program director for the Yehuda Project. If there's anyone out there under the sound of our voice that is interested in possibly being considered for the position, we ask you to please email us at careers, noycareers@gmail.com. We would love to have you as a part of our team. We're trying to expand the Yehuda Project to the point where every day of the week there is something going on, even on the Shabbat. We're going to start having some Shabbat classes on Shabbat so that people can actually join in with us on Shabbat to do some things for us, and that is actually the Sabbath day. I think Dr. Kevin Collins, we invited him to be a guest on our show today. And if you are on the line, sir, if you would push 1, we would love to hear from you. If not, we would definitely wait. We know it was kind of last minute, but we received an article, and we would like for you to expound on that article a little more so that we can talk about some things that are going on with Israel. Brother Adonai, do you have any things that you would like to talk about?
No, I didn't want to really mention anything that I had to talk about until I get some concrete evidence. But I just wanted to say that there's an elite in Israel that the Almighty had chosen, and that elite is the Levites and Judah. But I don't have any concrete evidence on how that's going to work for us in these days and times. But And if anybody else does, I'd like them to bring that to the table so we can all, so I can find out, and maybe I can research a little further and get more information on that. But as it stands right now, you know, what I'm looking at is the fact that if we want clarity, those are the people that can go directly to the Almighty. You understand? The only persons that had been ordained by the Almighty was the Kohen, which is the Levites, and that was during the time of Gershom and Merari, I think it was. Those were the priestly order. And David in Judah, and it says that the scepter should not never leave from between David's legs. So if you got any information on that, I appreciate it if y'all could bring that forward. I'm interested. Hallelujah.
All right. Well, one of the things that we want to touch on today, I got some information today from someone, and people are always sending me information about the Pope's visit to Israel. This is pretty serious, people. The Pope has plans to visit Israel in the month of May, from my understanding. And there's a lot of things going on with this happening in terms of him fulfilling prophecy. And I found a clip that I wanted to play that I think you guys might be interested in hearing. And I wanted you to listen to this, and then you tell me what you think. One moment, please. Let me try to get this on here, and we're going to play. Here we go.
Vatican is a lot more in control than anyone else. Concerning the building of the Third Jerusalem Temple, one fact of recent history is the huge Bible prophecy of Israel suddenly becoming a nation in 1948. Most nations of the world immediately began recognizing Israel as a bona fide, brand new nation. But one nation of the world refused to recognize Israel, namely the Vatican State. And yes, the Vatican is recognized internationally as an actual country and is self-labeled as a monarchy, with its own king being the Pope himself. So that's a key fact of history, that since Israel's 1948 rebirth, the popes have refused to honor and recognize Israel as a bona fide nation. One key reason for this is that the popes of Rome had confiscated and or made legal claims to own much of the land in Israel during the centuries before Israel's rebirth in 1948. These legal claims of the Pope occurred during the Ottoman Empire's reign, right up to World War I, in the early 1900s. So virtually, once Israel was reborn in 1948, then the Vatican's immediate attitude towards Israel was...
Uh-oh, something's happening to my computer. 1 minute, you guys. We have a computer glitch. One moment. I'm sorry about that. Let's see what we can do to get that rectified. Brother Donia, what do you think about that, about the Pope owning most of the Holy Land?
Well, if that's prophecy, then we're getting closer to going home. Because when these things are supposed to be started, you understand, it's supposed to start a chain reaction of events to lead towards us going home. And that just brings in mind the blood moon. There's supposed to have been four blood moons. And it's supposed to have started in Pesach. And the understanding that I have about the four blood moons is that those are signs that was designated for the house of Israel, not the Jewish man, but they take advantage of everything. They run everything, they put out everything, and they have what to just say, this is during that particular time, they were able to go into Jerusalem in 1948, and the sign was the blood moon. That was not set up for them. Those are European peoples, and they're going to do a lot of things, man, that's going to be contrary to the Almighty's law. And that's why they got to pay, because it says in the scriptures somewhere, I can't recall. I'm not a, I can't quote the scriptures like a lot of people do, but it says in the scriptures that when this stuff reaches its height, when evil and wickedness reaches its height, that's when the Almighty is going to bring his great wrath. You understand? So we, you know, if this is part of prophecy, then we can look forward to going home. We need to be trying to set ourselves up. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And that is so serious, because understanding where we are now and understanding the prophetic move of him actually going to the Holy Land, they are supposed to offer him something while he is in the Holy Land, and everybody's watching with whatever they're planning to offer him when he gets there. Now, we know that he is the controlling force of Israel. Even though Israel claims to be a nation, he is the controlling force of Israel. But the prophetic word is that he's going to go over to the Holy Land and actually move the Vatican to the Holy Land. And that's going to change everything.
Yeah, well, you know, one thing, you know, see them so-called Jews. Let me ask a question here. This might clear up some stuff for me. You understand? When Daniel talked, did his prophecies and everything, did he actually say that we were that he was talking about Jews, or what nation was he talking about?
Which prophecy are you referring to?
Any one of the prophecies that mentions the peoples that he were prophesizing for or against?
Well, Daniel talks about, in the 9th chapter of Daniel, he breaks down the things that are supposed to happen all the way through to the 12th chapter of Daniel. So, I mean, when you talk about the Daniel and the prophecy, he's talking about us as a nation in the book of Daniel. He's talking about the other nations and as a relation to the book of Daniel. It's all kind of prophecies that deal with us and the end times.
But when he talks about us, how does he reference us? Does he reference us as Jews?
In some cases, he does. He references us as Jews.
That's just peculiar, because during that particular time, you understand, there wasn't no Jews in Daniel's time. You understand? If we're talking about the Babylonian era, wasn't no Jews. But that's another story we might want to investigate. But you know, those Europeans, you understand, is they always want to take advantage, because they have. They were when they came into power, that was during the German time. When they came into power, they was in Germany, man, and they took advantage of the Germans, man. They became high up there in the government. You understand? They wrote all the books. They wrote all the newspapers. Now, when they came, you know, and that spread throughout all the whole world. So they have taken advantage of certain things, of our laws, statutes, and ordinances, and they spread it all over the world as though it was theirs. You understand? And so that's what people are basing their understanding on. Their understanding on how things work and how they putting in place things. Now, you know, they said the blood moon. Excuse me.
Well, yeah. When you talk about the book of Daniel, now nobody can mess with Daniel, and I'm gonna tell you why. Because Daniel wrote in 150 words. Daniel prophesied 1,500 years of human history before it even took place. So this is a history that he gave prophetically, that was given to him by Gabriel the angel, that was given to him to, and some of it he's not even able to utter because it upset him so bad what he saw. So the book of Daniel was not messed with by the Romans. Because the book of Daniel foretells of all of the nations that were to be into play in this day and time. He did it in 150 words accurately on a dime. So you can't mess with the book of Daniel. And Daniel deals with us as a people, as a nation of from the royal house of King David he was from. And when the Bible talks about the Israelites, you know, he basically talked about us as a nation. So, you know, when you deal with him, you got to really be careful because he is the foundation of what we have. Now, I wanted to continue this for a moment, and without cutting you off, I want you to tell me because I need your opinion on what you think about this. Hold on one moment. Here we go.
In peace. Then in 1993, 45 years after Israel's rebirth, John Paul II authored the Fundamental Agreement, which is an actual contract he wrote to Israel for the express purpose of requiring Israel to give up the very land, including the Temple Mount, which the popes themselves still claim to this day to be the legal owners of. Now, I could stop right here, having laid out these facts, and it's perfectly clear why the popes and Israel have had thorny negotiations since 1993 regarding who owns what in the Holy Land. Again, this is because the popes say we own that, and Israel also says legitimately that, well, but our people live here. Israel is our nation. Now, to back up 8 years to 2000.
Oh, my goodness. So what do you think about that?
Well, see, here's what we're doing. We're talking about two European nations. We're talking about the Christianity, and we're talking about the so-called Jewish peoples. You understand? So,
right.
They're gonna conjure up and make up all kinds of things, and
This is not conjured up. These are political agreements that were met between the two nations, because from my understanding, the Vatican never acknowledged Israel as being a nation, and because of the fact that they control the land rights, we're talking about land rights now, and this is where there's going to be a war because the Vatican is going to go over into a Muslim area. Now, you know, the Temple Mount is owned by the Muslims, and they claim that that is the place where Muhammad did whatever he did, or how, I don't know what it is, but it's a very important site for them, the Temple Mount. But the Vatican is claiming that we own it. Now you're going to have a battle between Christians and Muslims. And this is when it's going to get serious, because that is supposed to be the place where that third temple is supposed to be.
Let me go a step further here. The Muslims, that understanding, if I'm not mistaken, and you have to research it for yourself, that came out of the Christianity. You understand? Not necessarily Christianity. I'm talking about the Vatican. You understand? Had put that in place. You understand? Mohammed and all of those things that they talk about. You understand? That came from the Vatican. It's written somewhere, man. This is why I always say, man, that we're not going to get no true stories, true understanding out of, because we got all these kind of things, all these kind of different understandings, and most of them was put out by the European. You understand? One thing for sure,
Brother Donia, is the book of Daniel foretells that in the last days, when Nebuchadnezzar had the dream in Daniel chapter 2, he dreamed of that statue. And that statue gave him firsthand information as to how the nations were going to go. And irregardless of whether it was a white nation or a black nation, that vision has come to pass. Now, we are in the bottom of that statue with them 10 toes that's mixed with iron and clay. So at this point, in this stage in the game, we have to pay attention to the things that are happening prophetically, because they are happening according to Scripture. Everything that happens prophetically according to Scriptures is not necessarily centered around Israel. Some things have to do with the other nations taking control of the Holy Land, because that third temple is going to go up, and unfortunately, Israel is not going to have carte blanche on building it. Now, they may participate in helping the Europeans build it, but they're not going to build that temple by themselves. That's just not going to happen. We're not in a position, even if we were all to go back to the land, the one thing, we can't get citizenship over there, and they're not going to allow you to come over there and build anything. It is going to be the European nations that are going to build the temple, and it is going to be set up for the Antichrist, and he is going to walk into that temple and profess himself to be Yah. I mean, real talk, that's just the way it's going to be. And no matter how we see it and the way we look at it, it's coming to pass on a dime, just like they said.
Okay, I'm not going to dispute you on none of that, because we all have to see what really happens. Right now we're in a speculation mode, you understand? One thing that I wanted to mention is that if Daniel said anything about us being Jews, we need to take a look at that. Because during that particular time, when Daniel put out those writings, you understand, there was no Jew in that region in that particular time. And he could not make reference to his own people as Jews, because he didn't know any Jew at that particular time. Hallelujah.
Okay, well, one thing about it is it's definitely looking like the scriptures is coming to pass according to the book of Daniel, and the way things are coming to pass, it's coming to pass very, very, very quickly. You know, and we can't ignore the fact that they're getting ready. The Europeans are going to build that third temple. And if one Israelite puts one brick on it, it is a real temple. And we don't barely have enough money to survive over here. We sure don't have enough money to go over there and build nothing.
Well, I don't know how that's going to pan out, man, you know. And like I said that earlier when you asked me, I said that there's an elite that the Almighty deals with, for sure.
Right.
And that's the, that's the Levites and Yehuda. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we want some clarity on that, then we need to call them to the table and let them call on the Almighty. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And he will show us and give us the understanding that we need. You understand what I'm saying? I've always been, and that's why probably I'm not hooked up with any particular group or congregation or Knesset, is because my interpretation of things is a little bit more in depth than everybody can see, because I just don't believe. See, we came over here as slaves. We didn't know one thing about Israel. You understand?
Right.
And they say that some of us in Africa knew about us, you understand, but it was of no consequence, because we had to fulfill the curse. You understand? Curse was already put in place, and we were supposed to fulfill it. Now we have 100,000,000 different interpretations of what we are supposed to be and who we're supposed to be, and even in Israel, we can't even get our own act together. And the only way that we're going to find out is that we got to go to the scripture, go to the Almighty himself, because they got a book on everything. Just like they got a pill for every disease, they got a book on everything. So how are you going to get some kind of clarity? You have to go to the scriptures. And that's not to undermine your thinking, because we got 400 years of indoctrination. You understand?
Well,
they taught me certain ways, and I'm skeptical about what I was taught, because when I was taught, you understand, there were certain information that was out there that they never taught us. You understand? For whatever reason.
Absolutely.
You understand?
Absolutely.
So
well, one
50
thing
million
that,
different
you know
kinds
what,
of understandings and 50 million different kinds of understanding of the scripture itself, basically. You understand? Just basic knowledge. You understand? Some of us want to talk about Yashia or whatever, you understand, and whatever the Messiah may be. You understand what I'm saying? If there's going to be a Messiah, that will happen down the road. We need to pay more attention to what we need to do to save our keisters today. Hallelujah.
All right. Well, you know what? I appreciate, you know, your opinion. And like I said, this is a free thinking talk show, and everyone has a right to that. But when it comes to prophecy, one thing about that for sure is this book has been around for thousands of years, and it's been written thousands of years ago. And for a nation, whether it be white, black, or anything, to be able to fulfill it on a dime from it being written as long ago as it was is virtually impossible. When it comes to prophecy, I don't debate it. I just read it. I don't interpret it. I just read it. And according to Daniel, in the book of Daniel, this time is coming. And according to the book period, the Gentiles' age is we're not going to do anything until the Gentiles' age is fulfilled. So the Gentiles have the power now, whether we like it or not. They're in control, whether we like it or not. And we are watching from the sideline prophecy being fulfilled according to the scriptures. Now, if the Pope goes to Jerusalem and he demands to have access to that land, it is going to cause a war. And hopefully I can get my technical difficulties to stop, because I want you to hear this. And let me see if we can finish it. Hold on a moment.
Back up 8 years to 2005. And once Benedict XVI took office in April of 2005, then he was highly aggressive in taking the dormant fundamental agreement and immediately pushing it right into the face of Israel, even demanding the Vatican be given control of the Temple Mount, as headlines at heisnear.com show. In fact, Benedict was highly successful in bringing the Vatican-Israel negotiations of the fundamental agreement quickly around third base and right up to home plate, which is precisely where the negotiations are today. And that makes the next Vatican-Israel meeting, which is already scheduled in the next days of this month of December, a prime world event to keep our eyes on. Why? Because Daniel's major end-time prophecy has now clearly jumped into play tangibly. Daniel 9:27 foretells that he, Antichrist, will make a firm covenant with the many, being the end-time Jews of Israel, allowing Israel to build their third temple. So the fact that Antichrist, the Pope, has already made and virtually authored this contract in 1993's fundamental agreement, coupled with the fact that the Vatican-Israel negotiations are right now nearing finalization, then all of this shows that both parties of Daniel 9:27's prophecy, being Antichrist, the Pope, and the end-time Jews of Israel, are zooming this generation towards the execution of a seven-year agreement allowing Israel to build their third temple. And at that point coming is when this generation will have entered into the final seven-year tribulation period.
Now, I agree with you on one thing, that the Israel that we battle against today is not the people, and we have to go back home in order for this thing to jump off. But at the same time, my whole issue is this. If the Vatican owns the Temple Mount, then there will be no problem in the third temple being built there. Whether it is the right Jerusalem or the wrong Jerusalem, it is not. If they're going to build it on the outskirts of Jerusalem or wherever they're going to build it at, they're going to be a part of making sure that temple gets built, because that is the place where he is supposed to walk into, and he is supposed to profess himself to be Yah, and that's when all hell going to break loose.
Well, the only thing that I understand, that was going to be my next question, is because what about the new the real Jerusalem that's that they talk about today? You understand? They said it's going to be, there is another Jerusalem. A couple of brothers and sisters are looking at that as being the spot, and they looking at the Jerusalem that those so-called Jews is just a tourist attraction. That's what it was built for, you understand? So what about that, man? And the fact that, and you are right, you understand, when you said that, see, when they talk about Israel, going into the land and building the temple, or they. I think it's mentioned somewhere in the scriptures is that there's going to be other nations that be involved there in the building of the temple, but it's got to be done by us. What kind of sense would it make? Just from my point of view, you understand? That they have, because see, in the Holy of Holies, it's got to be Levites and the Kohanim, and they got to come from the script from the house of Israel. You understand? It can't be no other nation in there building no temple in the Holy of Holies. That don't make no sense to me. But maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we need to look at it from another point, another view, or whatever. But I'm sure that place is supposed to be built by us because we the peoples of that land. Hallelujah.
That's true. And it's not a valid temple until we put the brick in it.
That is correct.
100%. That's why I said there has to be a movement of us actually going home. But then not necessarily so, because we have Hebrew Israelites that are already in the land. They're already.
You know, one thing that
one.
Excuse me for interrupting. I just want to say this here. One thing that we got to understand is that the Almighty is going to bring about a destruction. You understand? Mm-hmm. And we ain't going into that land till after the destruction. Period. We can. You know. I mean, I understand what scriptures say. This is what you know. See, this is why I say that book has been tampered with. It so tough. They got us believing so many different things. You understand what I'm saying? But there's got to be a destruction, and the peoples that from the four corners of the earth. You understand? Will have to be purged before we go into that land, because we got to have a pure mind, a pure heart, and pure soul. You understand? We got to be dedicated to the scriptures and dedicated to the Almighty. We can't go into the land there and they just pop and take everybody into that land the way all willy-nilly. You understand? He's going to purge us out of there, you understand? And then we're going to build that temple, you understand, and be there forever. I just can't. I can't see it no other way. Hold on, 1 second. I deal with practicality. Hello.
24. I'm listening.
No, go ahead. I'm off.
I'm just saying that the way that the scriptures, and that's all we have is the scriptures. What you're quoting is the scriptures, and the way the scriptures read is there has to be a period in the wilderness with us. In the meantime, all hell is going to be breaking loose in Israel because the Most High is going to clean it out before we're even allowed to go back in it. So
Hallelujah.
We're not going to be a part of the drama that's going to jump off over there. That is going to be the face of the Gentiles, and that is going to be their last reign in the land. So it is a great possibility, according to Daniel, that temple is going to go up. According to Ezekiel, that temple is going to go up. And the Vatican is going to move his place to Israel. That is what is getting ready to jump off. Now, we can say that the scriptures don't mean nothing. We can say the book has been tampered with. But all we have to do is sit here and watch it fulfill itself, because the Gentiles are going to do what they need to do to fulfill their position in the Holy Land. The Holy Land is where all of the focus is getting ready to be on in a moment. So, you know, we can watch it, we can say what we think or what we believe, but as it comes to prophecy, because we are a nation that is built and moved on prophecy, everything we do is prophetic, whether it is covenant-driven, whether it is promise-driven, or whether it is oath-driven. We are a nation that moves according to prophecy, and our move now is not going to be from here straight into Israel. Our move is here into the wilderness. We're not going into Israel right now. So everything that Daniel talks about with this Antichrist or this person that's coming is going to set the war off. Now, there's a debate whether it's going to be a 7-year tribulation or a 3.5-year. It really don't matter at this point, because what's important is to watch the timeline, because once they start this, like you said, it triggers us to be able to leave out of here and be able to go into the wilderness. We're not going straight into Israel. It's got to be. There's governments that are there right now functioning. functioning as governments, and we're not going to overthrow those governments under any circumstance.
Yeah. Well, one thing for sure is, like I said earlier, it's got to be the Kohanim and the Levites that deal with the Holy of Holies. You understand? Now, if they're not in place, then it's not a true temple. It's not going to be a true temple. It's not going to be. They can put it together what they think is the place, and they can put together what they say is the place. But if it's not done by Israel, man, it's not, like you said, it's going to be it's going to be death and destruction in that place. I was online, on Power Talk, as I am always on Shabbat, and the brother said that, the land going to be cleaned out, and then we're going to be able to go in there. But in other places in the scriptures, we're going to be carrying dead bodies out. So there's a lot of stuff, man, that's confusing because the book has been tampered with. Now, when I say the book has been tampered with, that doesn't mean that we can't discern what really is the truth and what is not. Whose job that is? I think that is of the elite's job. One of their jobs is to be able to distinguish what is Ola and what is the truth. You understand? Because it's been tampered with so bad, man, they got us. And trust me now, that book is in all places. Every nation under the sun calls themselves Israel. You understand what I'm saying? And they have their interpretation of what they of what it's all about. So, I'm not confused because I understand that the truth of matters got to come from Yah. It can't be conjured up out of no book. Hallelujah.
Well, you know what? To me, the book is all we have. The word, the spoken word, the written word of the Most High is in the scriptures. The same scriptures that you say are tampered with are the scriptures that identify us as the people. So we can't discard the book because somebody will say if the book is tampered with, then how do you know you're an Israelite? How can you prove you're an Israelite? Because that book is the only book that has our history in it that tells us who we are, that identify us as the people. So even though they may have tried to do things to it, we still have to be obedient to it and follow scripture. Now, let me play this for you. I want you to hear this real quick. One more.
In the attached recent news article from Israel National News on January 23, 2014, Rabbi Ariel of Israel warned that, quote, during the Pope's next visit, they plan to transfer the cenacle on Mount Zion to him, end quote. This is found in the sixth paragraph of the news article, which actually states that two holy sites will be transferred to the Pope. One is the cenacle, which is the upper room holy site, and secondly, Mount Zion, which by some definitions includes all of the Temple Mount itself. This is huge Bible prophecy, since May's visit to Israel by the Pope is literally Antichrist and the end-time Jews of Israel readying to finalize their agreement, as shown in exclusive details at heisnear.com. The prime prophecy factor to watch for is whether or not Daniel 9:27's prophecy of the seven-year agreement signed by Antichrist and end-time Israel's leaders will actually be executed during or even before the upcoming May 2014 visit by Pope Francis to the Holy Land. At its inevitable signing, that it will virtually start the final seven-year tribulation period, which is the very next end-time prophecy to occur in this generation.
All right, now check that out. Now, this is all I'm saying is they have a scheduled meeting from Rome. Rome, the Pope, the Vatican is scheduled to go to Israel. He's going to be there this month. If they transfer the land rights from the Temple Mount and whatever other site they have, if they transfer that to the Pope and give him access to the grounds, and which he already owns anyway, if they transfer those land rights over to him, all hell is going to break loose because you have Christians and you have Muslims that are fighting over that land. Now, if they decide to agree to put the buildings next to each other as an agreement, and our people put one brick in the building, it is a true temple. Now, whether or not they actually have real Levites to be able to mess in the holies of holies, I don't know. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I don't really know what they're going to do in a situation like that. But when you talk about the what's happening right now in front of our face, the Pope is getting ready to gain land rights. Now, to this holy site, which is the Temple Mount where the Muslims go and pray, and he's getting ready to own it, a Christian, well, we don't even call him Christian, but the Catholic Church is getting ready to own land rights to where the Temple Mount is sitting, and he's going to, I can see it now happening, if they put the temple side by side, or if he chooses another location for it, wherever he chooses it to be. The purpose is for him to build that temple and move the Vatican to Israel. That is what's getting ready to happen, according to Scripture. They are moving according to Scripture, which means all hell is getting ready to break loose over there between the Muslims and the Christians.
Well, we'll
and I
have
wanted to ask anyone, if you all have a question, a comment, or concern, please feel free to push number one. I'm sorry about that. Me and Brother Donnie are kind of getting caught up in conversation. But if you'd like to join the conversation, or if you were a guest that I've invited to the show, please feel free to push one. Go ahead, Brother Donnie. I'm sorry.
Kane, I want to apologize to everybody, you understand. I'm not trying to get in any kind of debate because I don't know nothing.
No, you're all right. My stuff is
speculation, you understand, everybody else is. When we say we believe the Scriptures, then we believe the Scriptures. I believe that the Scriptures is flawed. Now, everybody has their own belief, I'm sure. But and I'm basing my stuff on the fact that the European, you understand, he brought those Ethiopian folks from Ethiopia who were supposed to be of the line of Judah into the land, stole their DNA over a period of time, gave it to those rabbis so that they could go into the Holy of Holies, you understand, unscathed. That's my prediction, and we'll see how that work out. Hallelujah.
You think they stole their DNA? I'm confused, because the only way that you can be a Levi, is a real Levi, is by birth, and there are stipulations to you actually performing as a priest in the temple. Now, I believe that they went to Ethiopia to gain access to the Ark of the Covenant, if they have that. I believe that. But even with that, we still have Hebrew Israelites that are over there now. We have black Jews that are in Israel right now that are living in Israel. And to find a Levi of the Levi tribe would just be a matter of DNA testing. I mean, really.
Yeah, well, see, that's why they got. Now, this is one reason why I say that, because they of the line. See, here's the thing. You understand? Right now, today, they got Levites over there in the land, come from America. You understand what I'm saying? That cannot even go into the Holy of Holies. They can't go into the Holy of Holies. Best thing that they can go is out there in that courtyard. You understand? Now, let me go.
I didn't hear that part. What did you say? Say it again now.
I said they got Hebrew Israelites who are Levites in the land right now today that cannot go into the Holy of Holies. They don't go into the Holy of Holies. You understand? They're not allowed to. But what they did was.
Right, the high priest is supposed to go in there, right?
Right. And we and not they as far as they can go is the courtyard. You understand?
Correct.
Because
correct.
That's where they said that we were supposed to come for when we come over there for Pesach, we go to the Holy of Holies and raise our hands, and that is our offerings. You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're doing today. You understand what I'm saying? But here's the fact, you understand, that they took those Ethiopians draw blood from them, you understand, and transfer the blood into those rabbi children. You understand what I'm saying? So now, over the period of time that they, which was maybe 15 years, I think, that since them Ethiopians been in that land, you understand, they've grown up with Ethiopian blood in them, so that when they take them DNA tests, you understand, the DNA tests from those so-called Jews, they will come up and will be labeled as Levites and Kohanim. You understand? That's what's going to allow them to go into the temple. Now, if you don't believe me, let's wait down the line. We'll see what happens. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay. Well, I mean, one thing you have to realize is that that's a possibility. That is a strong possibility. And again, I'd like to let everyone know you are more than welcome to push one if you'd like to join into this conversation. We did invite someone specifically on the line. If you are on the line, please feel free to push one. We want to hear from you. We have a different topic that we would like to address with this gentleman. And if he is not, we're going to continue on the path that we're on. If you'd like to just listen, you're more than welcome to participate and listen. But that is one possibility. But the whole purpose of the whole temple and them being involved in the temple is to spark the anger of the Most High, because they're going to continue the masquerade. They're going to continue the lie and the facade all the way through to identifying the Pope or whomever as being Yah. So they have to follow through with what they're doing, whether it is authentic or not. They're going to follow through with it. And we know that the authenticity comes with the way that the temple service was set up by the Most High. We know there has to be a high priest. We know the Levites are the ones who handle the inner court, the outer court, and the holies of holies is done by the high priest. We know all of those things. We're not disputing that. What we're saying is they're following according to prophecy, and they're doing exactly what the word says is going to do, which is going to spark the return of the Most High to do away with them. That's all we're saying. We're not saying they're the real people. They're not the real people. We know they're not. What we're saying, though, is according to prophecy, they are doing what they've been called to do. Now, let me let you listen to one more, and we're going to go back to the conversation. And again, if you want to join in a conversation, please feel free to push one.
One major decision which every single human being on Earth must make in the days ahead will begin shaping up quickly in 2014. And that's on the topic of just who people think the Pope really is. What I'll detail here is not speculation, but is shown in clear and sobering Bible prophecies. My first point on the topic of Antichrist is that the Bible provides vast amounts of information about Antichrist's specific profile being the Pope of Rome. In fact, John the Revelator never uses the term Antichrist even once through the entire book of Revelation, but only uses the term false prophet. This is because John, who had written about Antichrist in 90 AD, was suddenly seeing Antichrist with full clarity in the 95 AD vision as being a false prophet, meaning the greatest religious fraud of Christianity ever. From John's perspective, the terms Antichrist and false prophet were synonymous and pinpointed one and the same man. Today, history proves that only the popes of Rome and no other are an exact match and fulfillment to Revelation's false prophet, Antichrist himself. My next topic deals with the coming explosion of awareness and controversy on the topic of Antichrist being the Pope of Rome. Although 7 billion people today are relaxed in their naive opinion about who they think the Pope is, being a wonderful godly man and even Time Magazine's 2013 Man of the Year, the Bible shows that there's coming an explosion of awareness of the Pope being Antichrist and leading up to the very start of the tribulation. For example, during Jesus' teachings on end-time prophecy.
Okay, now let me stop there, because what we're saying is, and we know that a lot of people don't believe in the New Testament, and we're not going to debate that one way or the other, but what we're saying is we know the whole system is fake. Do you agree with me on that?
Say that again. You know
we
that
know
what?
The whole system is fake.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I agree.
That's all we're saying. We know the whole system is fake. And all we're saying is that the fakeness has to play its part all the way through.
Of course.
So
the
fakeness has to go all the way through, saying we're the people of the book. We know that's false. Then they say, well, we are, the Pope said that he is the Messiah. He is God. He said, I am God manifested in the flesh. We know that's false. So now he is taking the things, they're taking the things of Israel, which is the temple, the thing that the dedication that was given by Solomon to the Most High, and they're rebuilding that, and they're going to use Hebrew Israelites to do that so that they can further the masquerade and say, I'm going to show you that I am who I say I am, because I'm going to walk into the holies of holies, and I'm going to sit on the Ark of the Covenant, or I'm going to be in that area, and I'm going to profess to be God, and I'm going to show you that nothing is going to happen to me. All we're saying is we know that's not true. But the thing is when that happens, everybody better take cover, because all hell is going to break loose. It's going to break loose.
I agree.
That's when you're going to see Yah coming in the fullness of his glory to tear this place up.
That is correct. I agree. I totally agree. You understand? There's going that has to show up. You understand? The wicked and evilness has to go its whole thing, and that's going to tip it to the other side. You understand?
It's going to be on and popping. And that's all we're saying is we're watching this stuff unfold right in front of our eyes in this day and time. And guess what? 5 years shy of the 400-year prophecy.
Okay. Oh,
hold on.
All
we got
right.
A caller here. One moment, please. Hold on one moment. 706, go ahead. You're in the air.
Hey, how you doing today?
Hello,
can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Yeah, okay, this is Ruchet Mike from Thompson, Georgia. I was wondering, I was trying to see how I could, Brother Adonia could get in touch with me. My phone number come up, but you could give it to him. I'd like for him to give me a call this evening. I'd like to talk to him about some things. If that's possible.
Sure, we'll do that after the show. We definitely will.
Yes.
Okay.
Adonia, whatever you
have
to say.
I have his
whatever
phone
you
number
have to say is all right. You can say that over the line. I'll call you if you want me to, though.
Yeah, okay. I'll give it to you after the show. But making the point, that's all we're saying, in essence, is these things have to manifest themselves in real time in order to ignite the whole process. Because once they do that, all hell is – the masquerade is over at that point.
Yeah, that's true. I agree with that. I agree with that. It's not that's something that necessarily needs to be that needs to be known. One other thing that I wanted to find out is what are the black Christians think about all that is being that's about to happen. You understand? Are they just covering their head and digging their hole or what?
Oh no. They're definitely watching this because they are all believing that as soon as this takes place, the rapture is going to happen.
You know what, Sister Yaina? The Vatican just said that there is not going to be no that return of JC. That's what they said. That's been on the news.
I know they said that, but guess what? Christianity believes that at that point, that's when the rapture's going to happen, and they're going to be taken up out of the earth, and they ain't going to have to experience them. They're leaving here before we do. The Most High going to come and get them before he's going to step over Israel and get them and take them into la-la land so that they can be sheltered from it, and we get to go into the desert and live in the wilderness. So this is all of the things that are jumping off right now that when they listen and they're able to get some clarity to it, it will begin to make sense. I mean, you know, it's one of those things where you have to know for an assurity what's going to happen. Now, what's going to be sad is when that 7-year agreement is signed and whether he signs it or whatever, the way the treaty is supposed to be made is he's going to sign the 7-year agreement, and then he's going to renege on the 7-year peace agreement, and then all hell is going to break loose, and it's going to spin us into the 3.5 years. Jacob's trouble. Well, before all of that happens, we have to be in Israel.
Yeah. Well, one thing that you know that we have. Go ahead.
I said, over in the Middle East, we have to be in that part of the vineyard. So to me, even though he goes over there and even though they do all the things that they do and even though they make the agreements, if they do that, nothing is going to take place, I don't think, before 2019. I just don't. I think that something is going to be negotiated where we're going to be able to go back to the Holy Land and be in the Holy Land, and then they're going to begin to build the temple and we will have something to do with it.
Well, you know, from what I understand about the scriptures, and I'm not going to quote no verse or anything like that. If you read in there, or if you've ever read the scriptures, you'll know what I'm saying. It says that somewhere in there says that that region over there is going to be tore up like the rest of these places because
yes,
they got
it is. Yes.
You know, you understand. So, and as far as us being there, we might be in the Middle East, but the Almighty is going to hide us in the day of His great destruction. You understand? In the day of His anger, He's going to hide us. So we have I read somewhere, and I can't tell you where. You understand? Is that we're going to go between two mountains. You understand? And at that particular time, I think you mentioned that time we're going to be purged out. You understand? All the wicked and evilness will be purged from amongst us. You understand? But that will be the opportunity for the Almighty, you understand, to get rid of all the evil from amongst us. You understand what I'm saying? And after all of that destruction, then we're going back into the land, and then at that particular time we will do all the rebuilding. And I think, you know, those bulldozers and all of that equipment and all of that stuff that they got over there, do you think everything's going to be destroyed? That we're going to use that to rebuild the temple. That's what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Now look, that is definitely a possibility. That's why they've been putting so much emphasis on President Obama being a Muslim, because this is going to be between them. This is going to be between the Muslims and the Christians, from the Vatican to the Muslimic community. This is getting ready to be that kind of a war, and that's why they've been putting so much emphasis on Obama being a Muslim. That Obama is really a Muslim because, you know, he has the power to do the things that he needs to do. And for them to negotiate for that temple to even be on that particular site, we know that's not the real Jerusalem. We know that's not the real Holy Land from what we've seen in the research that was made. But for the people's sake and for the things that people are watching, they're still going to try to do wherever they build it, they're going to build it. And that's just something they have to finish out. The masquerade, it has to be finished out.
Yeah, yep. You understand? So it's you know, and then you know, one other thing I'm trying to figure out from the black Christian point of view. You understand? Is that it says in the scriptures that out of it all Jacob shall be saved. What is the Christian view on that?
Well, see, they don't believe. They believe that Jacob is the people that are there already. They believe that the Israelites the Jews are the Jewish nation that is there already. Most of the Christians, especially the black people, they believe they're Gentiles. They've been
Gentiles.
Told they were Gentiles. They believe they're Gentiles, yes. That's the sad part about it. And that's how deep the rabbit hole goes. They have been taught they were Gentiles. That's why we've been screaming, you are not Gentiles. You got to understand. But I want you to hear it straight from the horse's mouth what the Christians believe. Here we go. Check this out.
Something biblical, something prophetic happened today over at the Vatican. Many of you know that President Barack Obama met for the very first time with Pope Francis. The two met and exchanged gifts. I want to put some specific emphasis on the gifts that were exchanged. President Barack Obama presented the Pope with a custom-made seed chest featuring a variety of fruit and vegetable seeds used in the White House garden. The chest was made from American leather and wood from the Basilica of the National Shrine of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary. All right, this is just crazy stuff because I have so much things that the Lord just unveiled to me concerning this gift exchange, okay? So President Obama gives a custom-made seed chest featuring a variety of fruit and vegetable seeds, right? Used from the White House garden. Right off the bat, the Lord shows me that this White House garden represents a type of the Garden of Eden. The gift also represents an offering.
Go ahead. Let me see what it says. Here we go.
The garden seed represents the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And Obama giving an offering to one who is to be a representative of God here on earth. That is the Pope. So we have Obama giving an offering, a gift, but it's an offering, a seed offering, to one who is to represent God here on earth. And that is Pope Francis. I want you to realize that with the seed offering, it was also what the Bible would consider a bloodless offering. Cain, the brother of Abel, the son of Adam and Eve, Cain, offered unto God an offering from the ground, produce from the ground.
Now, this is the Babel. This is the stuff that, this is how they come up with the psychobabble stuff that they teach. I mean, it just, you know, it's hard to listen to it because it just, they psychoanalyze everything and try to make it sound deep when it really don't have nothing to do with anything. So, you know, we are just trying to get to the point where she can bring some clarity or some understanding to what she's talking about, because everybody wants to sound deep and they want to act like they know what they're talking about. But in the gist of it all, to bring some of it all up, the black Christians believe that they're Gentiles, and they believe that the Jews that are over there are the Jews, and that that's what they want to do. So, you know, that's basically what they believe, and that the Pope is fulfilling prophecy, that he is the Antichrist, and when he goes into the temple, they still believe all holy hell is going to break loose, but they believe they're going to be raptured out of here before then. That's what they believe. I know because I used to teach it.
Well, I understand, you know, that's part of the indoctrination, the 400 years of indoctrination, of us grabbing hold to anything that we thought that was going to keep us from being chained, whipped, beaten, maimed, and murdered. You understand? And we held on to those understandings for a long time. All through the slavery period, man, when we was standing on the outside in the rain in front of those churches waiting on our master to come back outside so we can go home, you understand? They believed all of that stuff, and that was over a period of 400 years. And not only that, they had the Muslims understanding too, you understand? When we was in the Nubian land, Africa, you understand what I'm saying? And them the Arabs came and got us. We was under their indoctrination. We didn't have any understanding of our true and living Yah. You understand? So, you know, so they call it the rabbit hole, but it's a deep sleep that we're in, you understand? And the only way we're going to get out of that is that we got to call on the Almighty with all our heart and all our souls. And I think that the time that we do that is during the time of the Day of Atonement, when we're supposed to ask the Creator to forgive us for our sins and to forgive our forefathers for their atrocities, and then ask the Almighty how do we get out this mess. And I believe He'll tell us. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I agree with you 100%. You know, there's a lot of things that, and that is why we spend so much time trying to bring clarity to especially the black church, you know, to get them to understand, you know, that you're not the Gentile. You are the chosen that has to go back to the land before any of this can be initiated. And no matter what, you know, it's basically, like I said, we're watching prophecy fulfill itself. They started, it's almost like you started the play. You put the costume on, you masquerading yourself as certain people. Now you have to play it all the way through. And unfortunately, the continuation of the play, as it begins to play out, you're going to realize that you are in a very dangerous position because there are certain things that are going to happen. I mean, they actually have space weapons. I'm not talking about nuclear weapons because nuclear weapons are for the people on the earth. They have space weapons. The Vatican is involved in it. They have space weapons preparing to fight the space invasion, which we know is going to be the most high. And there's nothing they're going to be able to do about it. So, I mean, to play it out, you have to be able to understand what this thing is all about. It's not to validate one or the other. It's just letting you know that prophecy is beginning to fulfill itself. And if they give him rights to the land, if they give him specific rights to the Holy Land, when the Pope goes over there this month, if the Israelis give him rights to the land, he is going to lay claim to the land that the Muslims own. That is going to start the war. It's just going to start the war.
That is correct. Yes, I think I sent you something regarding that that I got from one of the Power Talks presentations on Shabbat, where it says that the Jews already, the so-called Jews, already made they already sold the land to the Vatican. I'm trying to find that now on my computer. You understand? But and you are absolutely right. They also are going to show up over there sometime this month. You understand? To lay claim to what they purchased. You understand? It's really a deep story.
Of course they are.
But I don't want everybody to be in the dark. See, what we cannot do here. We got to be open minded here. You understand? I mean, we can sit up here and be Christians all we want, but let's be a little open minded, man. Let's just not just fall down on our face and just give up. You understand? I'm telling you, because that's what I think that we're doing. We're missing the point when we just give up. We think that and plus we allow somebody else to tell us about our story. You understand? Them guys, man, they went to what they call that school that you go to learn how to be a Christian. What do you call it?
Seminary school.
Yeah, you know, and they go to them seminary schools, and they don't, they teach that it's not profitable to talk about us being Israel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say it's not profitable for us for them to speak on anything that has anything to do with us being Israel. You understand? You know, it's more profitable if we talk about JC being the Messiah, and that's it. You understand? Leave it as that. And don't let them ask no questions.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, you know, like I said, the rabbit hole runs, it is deep. It runs deep. You know, our job is, that's why I don't haggle over the word. I don't haggle over the word. I spend most of my time explaining to people their heritage because you got to understand who you are in the book to understand what prophecies are afforded to you and what are the benefits and the things that we have to look forward to. Because if you think you're somebody else and you're reading the book from a false perspective, then you're going to miss the whole point. The church is going to be completely lost. I mean, it's just going to be clueless because you have so many black people that believe they are Gentiles. And it's like, man, when he takes the scales off, it is going to be a day to remember because when you can read yourself in the book as the people, everything changes. The direction we go in changes. Our method of worship changes. Our holidays change. Our holy days change. Everything changes. The day we worship changes. Everything changes, and we begin to adopt back our culture, the things that he gave our ancestors at the base of Mount Sinai. And when you understand those things and you begin to move in that direction, it gives you hope. It gives you
self-assurance. That is correct. You're absolutely
right. You know what I'm saying? Honestly, that's why I don't haggle over the word. I do not haggle over the word of prophecy, because one thing about prophecy, it is going to fulfill itself. Either it's going to be on the side of the right, or it's going to be on the side of the left, but that is going to fulfill itself. Our job is to bring not to open their eyes, because that's the Most High's job, is to open their eyes. But once they begin to start becoming conscious, they have to have a solid foundation to come to, where people are solid in their beliefs. They're solid in the building of the nation. Even though they may believe differently, the main focus is nation building and to bring us together as a nation, as a group. So that's why I don't argue and debate the word. I don't go through those changes, because guess what? If we had the kind of blog talk show where we were debating the word, we would have 55, 60 people on here trying to argue their point. It's not necessary. The thing that we have to stay focused on is the fact that we are the people of the book, and we have a prophetic journey that we have to fulfill, and that journey has to be fulfilled accurately. But before we can do that, we have to know who we are. If you think you're a Gentile, you're going to be lost. I mean, it's just simple as that. And we have a whole church. We have a whole foundation. The black church has morphed itself into this organization that's very powerful. They're very wealthy. They have money to spend. They have dollars to spend. They have resources. They have even built themselves a hierarchy between bishops and pastors and all that. And all of that stuff is based on a false foundation, because they believe they're Gentile.
That is correct. You know, let me ask a question here. Since they say that they're Gentiles, I mean, since they believe that they, the reason why I'm asking is because I never studied the Christian doctrine. I never did. I was stuck in the streets during those particular times. But the point is that what do they think about Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy 28. How do they justify that? You know, they can't say that the peoples in the land, you understand, went through the Deuteronomy 28. So what are they saying about that? Do you have any idea?
I do. I have a whole lot of ideas on that. I'm glad you asked that question, because this is going to bring some light to it. The problem with Deuteronomy chapter 28 is most of them don't read it. It's real simple. They don't read it. They don't read it. They don't study it. Because they are being taught that the Old Testament fulfills the New, reveals the New Testament, and that the New Testament, the Old Testament reveals the New Testament, and the New Testament fulfills the Old Testament. So they really discard the Old Testament, and that's the trick of the enemy, because if you don't believe that you're in the book, in the Old Testament, then you don't really understand, you know, what you're believing, because they don't see themselves in the book. They don't get to Deuteronomy 28. They don't understand that the Most High chose a nation. He chose a specific group of people to be his own people. And as long as they have people that are masquerading to be us, they're out in the front, they're very wealthy, they have created this dynasty for themselves, and they can look toward these people and say, those are the Jews. Everybody's satisfied with being a Gentile. And the sad part about it is they rob themselves. They rob themselves of their culture. They rob themselves of their identity. They rob themselves of their rich heritage. They're being robbed, and they don't even realize it. And they have put them on this course, this gigantic course, and say that we're all one big happy family, and he's coming to get us all. And no matter what happens, we're one group and we're one family. And Paul clearly tells them that. He says, has the Most High forsaken Israel, his people? He said, God forbid. He said, he'll never forsaken us. He said, because it was the downfall of us that gave the Gentile an opportunity to be saved in the first place. So, no, he will never discard us, and we have always come first, and we will always come first, because salvation is to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. But as long as they've been convinced that they're Gentiles, they are robbing themselves of the prophetic journey that they're supposed to be on. And that's the only message that we can accurately teach them, to identify who they are so that they can restructure their prophetic footprint and be able to move into another direction. Other than that, it's a big waste of time. I don't care how much you speak in tongues. I don't care how much you shout. I don't care if you quiver, shiver, and shake in the services on Sunday. That is not the message that he's trying to give. Because to be real, I had this man walk up to me when I was coming conscious. We were in the bookstore, and we were buying all these books. And this white man walked up, and he was, you know how you can sit around the bookstore and read books? And we were talking about J.C., and he was like, well, and he listened, and he slid up on me, and he said, you know, J.C. was a Palestinian. And I didn't say nothing, you know, and I look at the Christian church today, and I say, how in the world do you all miss the fact that he was of the tribe of Judah? They always say it. He's of the tribe of Judah, from the Lion of Judah. But you don't realize he was a Hebrew Israelite. For him to be from the tribe of Judah, he had to be from the Hebrew, from the 12 sons of Jacob. Judah, or Yehuda, was the son that handled the royal tribe. You cannot get away from the fact that he was a Hebrew Israelite. And I challenge any pastor out there that's under the sound of my voice to challenge me on that, because I can prove that he was, and that his mama was of all of this stuff. And this is from the book where we believe, because you asked me, so I have to give it to you from the perspective of Christianity. They don't accept the fact that they are of the tribe of the 12 tribes of Israel. They have the powers that be have them believing that they're Gentiles, and it's such a sad case. It almost brings tears to my eyes, because and you can't penetrate them, because you know what? They'll fight you to the death. And they'll say, well, what does that have to do with? And you know what they'll say? They'll say, well, what does that have to do with salvation? Everything.
That is correct.
Everything. Like everything. You know? Guess what? They've morphed salvation into this service. It's like, okay, you're baptized in Jesus' name. You have the Holy Ghost. I'm set. I don't need to do nothing but just do my service to the church. And then all after I finish the service to the church, and all I have to do from this point is just kick back and love my brothers and try to keep myself right till Jesus comes. That's salvation. It's like, not for us, it's not. Not according to the scriptures, it's not. Because our salvation, and it's for instance, you know, and I also wanted to let everyone know before we continue, because me and Brother Donnie, I talk all the time. We can talk all day. But we have a university, a school of knowledge, and it is free. And if you would like to be a part of it, you are more than welcome. Please email the Yehuda Project, and Yehuda spelled Yehudah at gmail.com, and let us know. It's every Wednesday night at 7 o'clock from 7 to 8:30. You know, but also as we were teaching about the book of Noah, remember last week when we were talking about how Ham saw his father's nakedness, you know, and a lot of people thought that he walked in and saw his father naked, because that's what Christianity teaches. But as you go back into the law, as you go back into what Moshe gave to our ancestors at the base of Mount Sinai, the Most High clearly spells out what it means when a man sees his father's nakedness, and it has absolutely nothing to do with him being naked. So these are the things that they say, well, you don't have to keep the law no more. Well, you're still not allowed to marry your uncle's wife, and you're still not allowed to marry your so-and-so as a group of people, as a nation of people. So there are rules that are still applied to us. That's a civil law that he gave us as a people to govern and conduct ourselves and the righteousness under his eye. See, the difference between the nation living a righteous life and Christianity is Christianity teaches self-righteousness. That's basically in a nutshell. They teach self-righteousness.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
you
true.
Just do this, and as long as you keep yourself together, you're going to be all right. You're going to make it in. But as far as we're concerned, we have a righteousness that he's already set up for us, and that is in making sure that we conduct ourselves according to Scripture. But you can't do that until you know who you are. It's impossible.
That is correct. You understand? One thing that I'm finding out also is that, where do they stand on the beginning of the book? You understand Genesis? I noticed that's in the New Testament. You understand? But they don't read from Genesis to find out anything. I mean, you know, when it talks about the genealogy and none of that stuff in Genesis. I don't understand how they could get where they're at now.
Because you know why? Because they have allowed someone else to tell them the story. And the scripture clearly tells you to study to show thyself approved. A workman need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And until you get into it, but see, you got to understand, blindness in part has come unto Israel. So their eyes are darkened to the point where they cannot see. And I didn't even know who I was until the Most High took the blinders off of my own eyes and began to reveal himself to us. That's why I said the job of revealing who they are is not our job. That's the Most High's job, to take the blinders off of our eyes.
Absolutely.
Once that happens, we have to be prepared to receive the overflow and to be able to help to show the pastors the direction to take. Because if we're not careful, Christianity will find a way to morph itself back into something acceptable to the point where people can have the best of both worlds without actually compromising anything. So we got to be very careful in the way we conduct ourselves as a people, because the enemy loves to make us look bad. So he'll say, see, you don't want to be a part of that mess. Go on back over there to Christianity where they organize. At least they got money. At least they organize. And at least, you know, you ain't got no foolishness going on. But when you stand them side by side, neck by neck, and you look at them, right now we have an opportunity to present ourselves and to change our cultural fingerprint to the point where we say we are the kingship. We are the royal seed of King David. We have the ability and the authority to build the nation of Yehuda according to the scriptures. And we're going to do that in a fashion where they'll understand that when we serve something to the Most High, it's not secondhand. It's something top-notch, so that we can come into this organization. You can come in and understand and be taught and understand that it's a culture and it's not a religion. We're a nation. We're a nation. We're not a religion.
That is correct. We are not a religion, we are a nation. And if you live by the law, statutes, and ordinances and commandments, you shall live and not die.
And they don't want to accept that, because right now you got pastors that have found a way, the black man has found a way to make himself acceptable in the community, in the white and the black community, by becoming a reverend or a preacher. They hold them at high esteem, and not only that, they found a way to hold the people accountable, and the people actually pay for their lifestyle. I have actually heard pastors, black pastors, say, we of the Levi tribe. And it's like, no, you're not. I'm of the Levi tribe. And it's like, no, you're not. I mean, even when I didn't know about Hebrew Israelism, I knew enough to say, no, you're not. There's no way you are. There's no way you can be, because that has to be proven. Even back then, they kept a registry of who was a Levi and who wasn't.
You know, when I came into the understanding, you know, the way, I like to call it the way. That's the way of the Almighty. You know, it was because I was not satisfied with what I was hearing and what I was doing. Mm-hmm. You understand? And so the only way that somebody's going to get any kind of this understanding, you can tell it to them until they're blue in the face, but they got to find out for themselves, you understand? You know, they got to want to know. They got to want to go. They got to be sick and tired of going through what they're going through, or even just seeing what we're going through. They want to do something. You understand? You know, most of the time, it don't come to you by osmosis. You understand? It's not a magical, mystical thing. It's the one in your heart to know that this can't be right. Something got to be. Let me see what these people are talking about. You understand? Of course, man, it's not so glamorous. You understand? We ain't got this the temple, and we ain't got no money. You understand what I'm saying? But we do have the understanding of Yah, and with the helping hand of all of us putting our hand in. You understand? We can make something happen out of this here. You understand? We have a window of opportunity here, you understand? And I say a window of opportunity because we ain't got that 400 years. We ain't got that 30 years, you understand? We got about 6 to 8 years. We got about 6 to 7 to 8 years, maybe, you understand, to get our act in order. You understand what I'm saying? And then after that, it's going to be too late. I'm going to be honest with you. I believe it's going to be too late. You understand? You know, I think I mentioned to the Sister Yaina earlier, you understand, or at another time, you understand, is that something significant is going to happen within the next 3 years. You understand? And we're going to understand that it's coming from the Almighty, the Creator. You understand what I'm saying?
Yep.
You know, because there's too many things that's falling into place, man. You understand what I'm saying? A lie can only be told as a lie because of the substance of it. You understand? Now they told us that for years.
Hallelujah.
You understand? You know, they told us for years that Christopher Columbus discovered America. That was a damn lie.
And wait a minute, and to take it a step further, understanding the story of Christopher Columbus was a fake Jew, and he went to Queen Isabella.
But all of these things will be...
Let me say, he read the book of Jubilees, and he read the book, Lost Books, and knew where the Israelites were, and went to Queen Isabella and King Ferdinand and said, I know where they are. Allow me to go to that area and take over that land. All of this stuff, you know, when you really start to unravel the lie, a lie can only last for so long. And the Most
High
gave him an opportunity to tell this lie for so long. And you know, you look in Christianity, and I see it so much. And I just shake my head, and people get so mad at me. And it's like, okay, somebody said, well, why did you leave? I said, because I knew it had to be something else. I said, because you can fool some of the people some of the time and most of the people most of the time, but the real true person that really loves the Lord, and I'm not even talking about from a Hebrew Israelite standpoint, somebody that really loves the Lord and put their 100% in it was me. And I knew that I was doing what the scriptures told me to do. I did what they told me to do. And the more I did it and I began to watch it, the less it proved itself. And I'm saying, now, I know it ain't you because the Most High don't make no mistakes. So something's wrong somewhere. I need you to show me. And that's when he began to unravel. Now, let me tell you what he didn't do. He didn't right away take the blinders off, and I had the aha moment about the whole Hebrew Israelite nation. I knew I was from the royal house of King David, had already knew that years ago. But when you start looking in the whole substance of it all and understanding it, he started breaking down what was wrong with Christianity. He started showing me the different gods and the different things that we were worshiping in there and trying to make it be him. He started to exposing and unraveling and showing. And I mean, you talk about somebody had their face in the book and in prayer, like, oh, my goodness. You know, one of my sisters would call me. She's like, girl, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, you ain't going to believe what I just found out. And he started to unpeeling and unraveling. And as he began to do that, I realized from an intellectual standpoint that we have been duped. We was really happy.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry.
I was like, give me my money back. You know, but I couldn't do it because I didn't know them. I wanted my money back, Brother Donnie. I felt like I had been fooled, and I wanted my money back. And I'll say today, you know, it was a sad day, but it was a good day because I found myself. I found the whole story.
I understand. I know that. See, you have to want more. You have to feel like this just can't be it. You understand? I mean, somebody's not telling the truth here. You understand?
And now let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. When you was in the street and you said you was a hustler, right? Right?
Yeah.
Back in the day. Game recognized game, don't it?
That is correct.
That's what I'm
saying. You're absolutely right.
When we walked in there and I saw the hustle game going on, especially over the pulpit when it came to the offering and the money and the game they was playing, I was like, this ain't real. And I sat there for a long time like, okay, I'm going to give it a little bit more time and we just going to see. But when my results didn't match up with my expectation, when the outcome didn't match with my expectation, I had to step back. Now, you going to keep being made a fool out of, or you going to go to the source? And life, I'm 100% with you when you say you got to go to the source, because I went to the source. I said,
I know,
okay,
that's right.
Me and you, man, I ain't doing this no more. I said, I ain't going to be able to do this no more because it ain't making sense. I need you to tell me what's wrong, because something is wrong here. And that's when I
began
to go to the source. He began to open up my eyes, and I'm like, okay, I'm done. And I used to tell him, I'll never walk back up in another one, not another church again, ever. And my whole family, when I tell you my whole family is in Christianity to this day, it is only two of us that proclaim, well, I take that back. It is now four of us that proclaim to be Hebrew Israelites. I take that back. It is now seven of us that proclaim to be Hebrew Israelites in my family out of a large family. So as you begin to look at it, it's like, okay, well, hey, all we can do is live the life before you and show you, but I won't be playing that game no more, because the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is not being worshipped in the church of Christianity, and I can prove that.
You know what? You know what? You can realize now that it was the hand of the Almighty.
Yes, it was.
You in this way. You understand?
Yes,
you might think that, yeah, you understand, it was a decision that you made, but it was the Almighty that inspired you.
Yes.
And to go to come this direction. You got sick and tired of being sick and tired of what you were seeing and what you was going through. You understand? Because it happened to me. You understand? See, when I went down there because of my brother. You understand? I never turned around. I never went back up on the avenue, man. You understand? At all. I stayed connected to those folks. You understand what I'm saying? And it got me to this point right here. You understand? And it was the Almighty that kept me stuck in there. You understand? Now it looked good at the time. You understand? They had all the sisters dressed all in Israelite garb and the heads wrapped and they had the drummers. You understand? And then when I heard the Cohen expound on the law, you understand? That was the clincher. That kept me stuck there like glue. You understand? Now, like I said, there were certain things that I was not taught, but he opened up the door for me to be able to do some more research myself. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. To find out certain things. Now, after 7 years of sitting under the Cohen there, you understand what I'm saying? Me and my brother and another brother, you understand? We broke out and started doing our own thing. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And that allowed us to go deeper into the scriptures and find out other stuff and read other books and get more knowledge. You understand what I'm saying? So it wasn't a glamorous thing. You understand? We was living in a little rinky-dink joint, man. You understand? But we was happy. We was, I mean, it was beautiful. You understand what I'm saying? Nowadays, man, it has to be more glamorous because them churches then took over and made everything. They got the mega church, man, and if you look at what the mega church is doing, man, they check your income tax refund and see if you can be a part of that. That's, you know, I'm telling you, boy, you can see that they got a person in there called Pueblo Dollar. Lord have mercy.
Yes, sir.
How could you be under his understanding?
And the sad part about it is, you know, this is the beautiful part about it is that when you come into the knowledge, it sets you free. I mean, I can honestly say that I have been set free. I do not feel guilty. I understand most of what's going on. I don't know it all, but the part that he did give me to know, I am a free person today. I am here. And the beautiful part about it is, we have a very large family that's a part of the royal house of King Dawid, and they still haven't come into the knowledge of how powerful that is. I mean, you know, but because we are slowly and surely moving toward Israel, that's going to be a major part that's going to play in these end-time events, and I know it is, you know, and it's a lot of girls over here, fellas. I mean, it's a whole lot of girls that's royalty. And when the Most High gives us the permission, he's going to restore back our wealth so that we will be able to move in the position that we need to move in. But the main part about understanding, you know, the mega churches, you better not go up there and tell the member of T.D. Jakes' church that he a false prophet. You better not go up to them and tell Creflo Dollar that he a false prophet, because they're false if they don't know what they're doing. A lot of them know, and they're still doing it. A lot of things are going on in the church that they're still doing because they know. But again, and I say again, our job is not to open up eyes. That's the Most High's job. Our job is to continue to preach the word and to give them insight into Deuteronomy 28, Jeremiah chapter 51, Ezekiel chapter 34. I mean, we can just go on and on. Our job is to bring the scriptures relevant so that they'll be able to see themselves once their eyes are open, and then have an organization or an entity where they can come to and find a solid foundation. Because right now, if you weigh us up against the church, and when I say us, I'm talking about the Hebrew Israelite community as a whole, we don't look too palatable for anybody to actually go into. But the nation of Yehuda is trying to change that. We're trying to change our cultural fingerprint to the point where we are going to handle this from a royal standpoint, because we have the authority to establish the government of the nation of Yehuda through the royal scepter of King Dawid, or the church calls him King David, to do the things that we need to do. And that's why we have the Blog Talk Radio Show, and that's why I'm glad that you're my host, because we don't agree on everything. We don't believe in the Bible as a whole together, but as nation building, we write together 100% on point. So, you know, that's probably why a lot of things are going on. But until they stop thinking of themselves as Gentiles, you're not going to reach them.
Yeah. Yaina, I want to give you this website, you understand, to that. It's the Hebrew Vision newspaper, news.
Okay.
In the spirit of prophecy.
Okay.
The heading of the article is Alert Over Report Deal with Vatican for Dawid's Tomb.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that already. I mean, I think you sent that to me before. And just look at how they're strategically moving all of the major locations into the hand of the Vatican. There's going to be a Muslim and Christian uproar. There is.
Yep. Now, I don't doubt that at all. And see, you know what's so ironic is that the Almighty going to straighten all of that out. That's not our job.
That's not our job.
Fortunately, that's not our job, because if we had to pick up a stick, you understand, we're in trouble.
I agree.
You understand? If you look at what's going on in the earth today, you understand, them guys over there in Somalia, what is it, Somalia, where they took all of them kids?
Nigeria.
Were they them 276 kids from the school, girls from the schools? We couldn't do nothing about that. It has to be the hand of the Almighty, you understand, to straighten out all of this stuff, man. They got shipyards. Yeah. You ever go on to the History Channel and they show you these shipyards and all the places where they ship goods and everything like that? The Almighty got to straighten out all of this.
And guess what? That's going to be straightened out by war. He's going to come and straighten that out by war. Like I said, they have an appointment with him where they're going to meet him. And that's why they have all them space weapons. They don't have those space weapons up there for nothing.
That is correct. You understand? See, one thing that I'm finding out also, you understand, they destroying the earth, man. They got all of this metal ships that went across the seas, and they scuttle these ships out into the ocean. That's corrupting the ocean. You understand? They got paper and bottles and all these stuff, man, that destroys the earth. You understand? So you know that this stuff got to come to an end.
You're absolutely right. That is the truth. That's how it's done. You know, you're right. So what do you think we should do?
We ain't got nothing to do but try to come together and try to sustain our living, you understand, so that when the time comes that the Almighty could hide us in the day of our great wrath. Now, like you made a very good point today. You understand, that we need to get out of this mess and go on back to the Middle East and wait for the Almighty to start to call us in between them two mountains, you understand, so he could purge us. You understand what I'm saying? That's what we need to do. I don't think the purge is going to come from here. It's got to come from the land, because we're going to need everybody, every soul, to get out this mess.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That is so very true. You know, but we have a lot of work to do, and we're going to get it done, and we're going to make sure everybody is doing what they need to do, and everything is going to work itself right on out. So it's a beautiful thing. We have a lot of work to do. We employ everyone, if they want to be a part of the Nation of Yehuda, to help us to build. We need as many people as we can build. We have Christians, Muslims, everybody on board helping to build, because they know that something is getting ready to happen. And, you know, we have a lot of things that we have to take care of. We do. We have a lot of things that we have to take care of.
Yeah, we got our hands full. You understand what I'm saying? If we do what we need to do for us, we ain't got no time to try to do something to try to straighten out no nations. You understand? You know, we need to be more attentive. See, if we don't do nothing, then we agree to whatever happens to us.
Mm-hmm.
Would you agree to that?
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's true. That is true. I agree with you. I agree with you.
You don't do nothing, man. It's all right. We contribute to our own demise.
Our own demise.
So, I mean, I'd rather go down fighting, you understand, at least trying to get myself together or you know, let me, you know, if I'm going to go to the wilderness, man, and be purged out, let me get to the land at least.
Mm-hmm.
Let me get out of here. You understand? Get away from this mess, because it's going to be a mess. This is, I'm talking about for real. If we ever look on TV and see how Iran is toe all up, Iraq is toe all up. What all them little what do you call it? All them places over there in the Middle East where they done bombed and tore everything all up. You understand? This is going to be worse than that.
That's true. That's true.
This is not supposed to ever show its nasty face ever again. It's going to be turned into the valley of the valley of death that never be shown up again. That's how this democracy going to be all over the earth. Trust me. I'm just passionate, man, because I see what's going to happen. You understand? You know, and if you just take a hard look at what's going for yourself, you understand, you can see for yourself what's going to happen. You understand? This place is not going to last. You understand? There's no way possible, you understand, that the Almighty continuously let this go on. This ain't going to happen forever. You understand? All that stuff, man, is being, you know, bottles and paper all over the place, man, with non-perishable stuff. Come on. You know, they're killing the earth, man. Did I get cut off? Hello?
I'm here. Check this out.
In a Muslim majority country. I know because I am one of them. But my father came from a Kenyan family that includes generations of Muslims. As a boy, I spent several years in Indonesia and heard the call of the azan at the break of dawn. I have known Islam on three continents before coming to the region where it was first revealed. That experience guides my conviction.
You're absolutely right that John McCain has not talked about my Muslim faith.
As the Holy Quran tells us, the Holy Quran teaches that, the Holy Quran tells us, and the Holy Quran also says.
Y'all hear that? So that's why the white people are upset, because they say he's a Muslim. And if he's a Muslim, and it's getting ready to get interesting. It's getting ready to get interesting.
Yeah, it is. Is that a recent tape? Is that a recent?
Well, that's one of the tapes that he did when he first came into office, that he admitted that he was Muslim. He says, you know, my whole family was Muslim. I've been around Muslims on three different continents. You know, so I mean, you know, it's getting ready to get interesting.
Yeah, you know what? You know, see, you know what? Yaina, I hear a whole lot of stuff that you know, Malcolm X said this a long time ago. He said, a vote for a Democrat is a vote for a Dixiecrat. And what that means is that if you're voting for a Democrat, you're voting for a Republican also. Because all of them is the same folk. You understand? They Europeans. You understand? It's just a difference of who a party. You understand? They got the same philosophies. You understand? And everything. Now, as far as Obama is concerned, you understand? He thought he was being using a technique of being wise and think that he thought that he possibly could get something done within this society. He was being used, and he's being used. He was being used then. He's being used now. You understand what I'm saying? And what I don't like about Obama is that he throwed his wife under the bus. Said when he told his wife, when he told everybody, that's her genealogy about the slaves. You understand? Throwed his wife under the bus. You understand? If I was her, I don't see how she could live with him. Hallelujah.
Hey, I mean, you know, but I don't know how true that is either, because it's so much scandal regarding him that they say that the person that he professes to be his father is not really his father. He might be a Hebrew Israelite, but we just don't know. So many unanswered questions, you know, but I try not to focus a lot of energy on him and other than revert it back to the nation, because they're going to do what they've been called to do, and we have to do what we've been called to do to make sure that we are there for our people when their eyes open up, because, you know, we don't have any control over them and who they are and what they do, but the Most High has given us a mandate to be able to rebuild and build and continue to build, and that's what we try to focus on in love, that you and I can get on this radio show and agree and disagree and agree to disagree and still love each other and work together. That is a major milestone. I think we have accomplished a major thing, and that's what it's all about. It's about nation building, irregardless to the belief system. We still are a nation of people that have a destiny to return back to our own land, and that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to just be able to be a solid foundation for everyone. And again, I would like to announce that we are going to have a board meeting at 6. We were going to do a presentation, but we may hold off on that. I'm not quite sure. But we will call in on the conference line at 6:30, and then we'll go from there. I want to remind everyone that we have to do that. And also, don't forget to email us at the Yehuda Project if you're interested in being a part of our show. We also have a website that you can definitely go on, and it's www.noymonarch, MONARCH.US, and you're welcome to go on there. There are plenty of opportunities for you to be a part of our nation building. It is all virtual. It is volunteered, and we all come together and do business meetings and try to accomplish those things that are necessary within our nation and bring together a group of people that is destined to go back to our land, and that is our plan. Brother Donia, do you have any last comments that you would like to give to the people before we say so long?
Yes. Let me say this here. It's been a pleasure to be on with you. And you've taught me a great deal of stuff. You understand? And the reason why I'm able to I'm the type of person this way. You understand? We in captivity. Ain't no one person got no understanding. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm flexible. You understand? The Almighty is revealing certain things to everybody. You understand? He's opening everybody's eyes. You understand? So if you got something that I need to know, he's going to reveal it to me. You understand? If it's something that you need to know, he's going to reveal it to you. But he won't reveal it to me or you, you understand, if we are not flexible enough to hear it. You understand? And so I try to be open-minded, you understand? I mean, I got my way, you understand what I'm saying? But I understand that the Almighty is moving in the earth today. You understand? He's going to allow us come together. We can't let petty little stuff, get in the way. We can't get in our own way. That's what we cannot do. You understand? So I want to tell you, man, that it's been a pleasure, you understand, and being able to be enlightened, you understand, and getting the opportunity to say a few things, you understand, and hopefully that I didn't kill everybody with my understanding. You understand? Just take a look at it for yourself. I'm not trying to force nobody to take my take me as verbatim. You understand? Just take a look at it for yourself. You understand what I'm saying? See what you think. You understand? And be a little bit more flexible, man. We still in captivity. Hallelujah.
That's true. Hallelujah. And on that note, we're going to say shalom, shalom to everybody, and we'll see you next week. We want to play this song. We hope you enjoy it. We have enjoyed you today, and we hope that you have gained some insight on the show, and we'll be back here next week, same time, same place, to give you more information, insight, and love from the Nation of Yehuda. Shalom, shalom, the Yehuda Project. Here we go.
The South's favorite mixtape supplier, DJ At Low.
It's in the building.
Sitting here, guess I didn't make bail. Got time and a story to tell. Started when I was 9 years old. Woke up and daddy was gone. I started hustling and they couldn't tell me nothing. Running in the hood trying to be somebody. My soul was on empty. I was searching for something. Tried to be good. Try to keep from trouble. Living too fast. Trying to make good on a hustle. Sometimes it get rough.
Coming from where I'm from.
Times got hard.
Coming from where I'm from.
Times you gotta walk the work, yeah.
Coming from where I'm from.
Sometimes you gotta do a little dirt. Wasn't really looking, guess I found it. 5'3", light brown skin. Coming from the university. Nighttime looking kinda lovely. Didn't know she had much game. Down to ride out, even take the train. Even take her to a poker game. Top notch, fried chicken and sushi. Try to be good. Try to treat you like a lady. Try to be a friend. Turned out that you were shady. But time to get lonely.
Coming from where I'm from.
Things ain't what they seem to be.
Coming from where I'm from.
Time to get a little angry. Yeah.
It's in the building.
Coming from where I'm from.
I'm glad you got them on.
Coming from where I'm from.
Sometimes you gotta cry a little bit louder.
Coming from where I'm from.
Sometimes you gotta fight the pain, yeah.
All right, all right. This is Yaina Israel with another edition of the Yehuda Project. He said, coming from where I'm from, I'm from. So everybody know that where we're from, we are the Hebrew Israelites. We are the direct descendants of the 12 tribes of the sons of Yaakov, and we are in a captivity all over the world. Our largest population is in Brazil, and then they've dropped us off in America, and in the third largest place was in, oh, my goodness, I got a dark Colombia. And so we are all over the world we are gathering ourselves together because our 400-year prophecy will be up in 2019, and we will be going back to the Middle East. And I encourage everyone to stand strong, continue to listen, go before the Most High to get clarity, and he will lead you back to your own identity. And we thank you so much, and I'd like to say shalom, shalom to everybody. Bye-bye.